Podtacular episode 405, Rumor Mill Begins for January 16th, 2014. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and tonight we are coming to you again, Brentless. I haven't heard from him in a couple days, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Hopefully he got my package of a VGA cable that will help get his laptop back and running, but until then, we can always look forward to next week, possibly, that he'll be back on the show. Not to worry, though, we have two guest hosts on tonight that will help fill his spot. And first off is Pins Halo. He's been on following us for a little while now on the live stream and plays with us regularly on our Wacky Wednesdays. And I promised him a guest host position because of his dedication to us by playing the first Wacky Wednesday of 2014. The only person to come play with us in the first Wacky Wednesday of 2014. So here he is, Pins Halo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you
for coming. And we also have another loyal live stream listener on for tonight as well. And he regularly participates in our Wacky Wednesdays. He was not there on the first Wacky Wednesday of 2014, but he is a loyal listener, so we decided to get him on the show as well. And that is Godzilla Todd. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Great to be here.
Going pretty well. 2014's off to a good start. The rumor mill has begun. There's lots of things flying around about Halo 5 and about Halo movies and all this good juicy stuff that we get to talk about, and no doubt the news is going to be flourishing here probably more within the next weeks, and as we get into convention season, a lot more stuff's going to be coming out, so the time for Halo is quickly approaching, and I think 2014 is going to kind of have a quick spin up here of interesting Halo news, but we got
a lot abound.
Yeah, lots of stuff. There's actually a couple of leaks. We talked about one last week of a couple of screenshots, which turned out to be fake. And then there was another one that got reported by Halo 5 follower a couple of days ago about a brief look at what supposedly is a trailer. But there's not enough there to really determine whether or not it is like a trailer or something. But it does look like it's something official. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, because we have two community guest hosts on, what we like to do when we have those, I know it's been a while since we've actually had community guest hosts on, so kind of bringing this back a little bit, but we like to interview our guests and see kind of where they are within the Halo realm and where they came in and how they got interested in Halo and everything. So, Penn, since you are the first guest host of the night, I'm going to go ahead and ask you the question first. So, what got you into Halo? And why are you here? Why are you listening to Podtacular? Why are you listening to this random podcast on the internet?
Well, I actually picked up Halo when it came out for the PC. I was working at CompUSA at the time, saw the Xboxes going out, but at that time I was a PC gamer. So I heard it was coming out for the PC, picked it up, loved it, was waiting for Halo 2 to come out for the PC, but then saw it was on Vista only and said, there's no way I'm going to put Vista on a machine to play Halo. Then I had a lot of money, gaming PC, it died, didn't want to put another $3,000 into a machine. So I said, I'll buy an Xbox and picked up the Halo games and fell in love with it again. And, it was, just before Halo 4 came out, I was on Halo Waypoint and saw, a link to a podcast that was talking about Forward Unto Dawn and downloaded it, listened to it, and then ended up catching Podtacular live a couple weeks after that. So, and this is like a normal Thursday night for me to listen in. So,
very nice. Well, thank you for being a loyal listener. We appreciate it.
Appreciate all the hard work you guys do. So,
we try. We're looking to kind of work on a lot more things. So, hopefully, we can manage it all. It'd be nice if we could. So, lots of things to come, hopefully, with Podtacular in the new year. So that makes way for our second guest on tonight, Godzilla Todd, and he's been with us for a little while now. So same question to you, what got you involved with Halo in the beginning, and why are you here listening to this podcast?
Well, what got me into Halo was a very devious friend of mine
who invited me
over
one
night to play video games. you know, up until that point, I was pretty much a guy that played race games, and he said, hey, come try this. So I went over there and just fell in love with it, you know, even though my name was Bait, you know. But, no, I just fell in love with the game. I picked it up probably around 2002, 2003 time frame. Played the original, loved it. My wife was kind enough to get me an Xbox and the game for Christmas the following year. And, wow. Unbeknownst to me, I'm still trying to figure out how she hid the cash from me. Anyway, I started playing that, and then I heard about the launch of Halo 2, and I'm with Penns on the whole Vista thing.
There's quite a few people on the whole Vista thing. Yeah.
I pre-ordered it, pre-ordered Halo 2, and now in hindsight, I wish I'd got the limited edition, but yeah, well. I still play it. Still play all the Halo games. I love the canon, the backstories. I listen to the books all the time, so I just really enjoy it. As far as how I came across the podcast, I have to actually thank my first smartphone for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I finally broke down and bought a smartphone because I wanted to have an MP3 player with me too, so I could listen to my music and stuff like that. So I picked up my first Windows phone.
And, oh, cool.
I knew about, like Major Nelson's podcast and stuff like that, just from, all the coverage, on, different websites, Waypoint and all that. And, I actually just typed in Halo podcast into the search engine for the podcast and came up with Podtacular. Started downloading the episodes and listening to them. And then I found out that you were live on Twitch and started listening every Thursday on Twitch.
Very nice.
Saw that you did the Wacky Wednesdays. I watched the Wacky Wednesdays for a couple of weeks and then decided to join in because pretty much all my friends are playing Halo on a regular basis. They've moved on to bigger and better games. It's nice to find a place where I can just kind of hang out and play with some people that just want to have fun and it's not serious competition or anything.
Yeah, that's always cool.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the story, my Halo story. Can't wait for the next game.
Well, it's coming out later this year.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, well, unless you're talking about Spartan Assault, which will come out on the 360 later this month.
Yeah, I actually thought I read something somewhere that was supposed to come out like the 15th or something, but I guess I misread it.
No, it's later this month. I want to say I saw somewhere January 24th, but I don't think I actually saw that somewhere. I think that's just a number that somehow conjured up into my head somewhere because I haven't made any official announcement.
The month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have another half of the month to go. So we'll see what happens or when that comes out. I still haven't played on the Xbox One yet. I downloaded it. I started it up just to start it up to make sure it was running and if there wasn't any updates or anything. And I just went back to playing on 360, doing Halo, Borderlands, and everything else on there that I've been playing recently.
Spartan Assault's what, $4.99 if you bought it for the Windows 8?
Right. Yeah. If you bought it for the Windows 8 platform, either the phone, Surface, or PC, you can get it for your Xbox One and eventually for the Xbox 360 for $5 instead of the $15 that's going to be.
Well, in that case, I should get it for free because I bought it for the phone and for the desktop. I'm kind of a Halo nut when it comes to the game. I honestly tell you, I own multiple copies of each version.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's one of the things, I buy the disc when it comes out, and then later on they put it up on the marketplace for digital download, and my drive in my Xbox has been slowly failing over the last 4 years, so I get tired of fighting with it to put discs in, so I buy the digital version.
I end up having to buy multiple copies because my CDs crack.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's why I started moving.
That's always the worst.
Copies. Then I can just leave the CDs in the case and I don't have to worry about them.
Mm.
Yeah, I downloaded. There was a time when they had a bunch of the Halo games on sale. So I got Halo 3 downloaded, Halo ODST downloaded, I think. I think that was a digital game.
Yeah.
Halo Reach downloaded, and just those three, right? Well, I have Halo CE downloaded. The original.
Yeah, CE's digital, the original. Mm-hmm. Halo 3, ODST, Reach, and Halo 4 is digital as well. The only one that's not digital is Halo 2, actually, because you can pick up Halo Wars digitally, too.
Oh, I probably got Halo Wars 2 then. Yeah, I guess kind of the fact that Halo 2 hasn't gone digital yet may lead out to possibilities of having it be Halo 2 anniversary at some point, maybe.
We can
start our own little speculation ball there, our own little rumor mills, so to speak.
Yeah, because I know my original Halo 2 disc is slowly dying.
Well, yeah.
I get about halfway through the game, and I get double images. Ooh, yeah.
You can probably go out and find copies of Halo 2, though, with just that aren't as bad. Actually, you mentioned earlier about not buying the Legendary Edition of Halo 2, or the Limited Edition, sorry. And I actually went online, because, I mean, back then I wasn't into Halo when Halo 2. I got into the big Halo scene around the time of Halo 3. Uh-huh. So I'm actually going back and buying a lot of the Halo stuff. So I went back and bought the ODST-themed console with the controller. I bought the Halo 2 Limited Edition. I went and bought the Halo 3 Legendary Edition.
Yeah, I picked up the Legendary of Reach and, Halo 3 Reach, and then the Limited Edition of Halo 4, brand new. I found the copy of Limited Edition on eBay and stuff, and you can pick them up, relatively cheap. I just haven't bothered to do it yet.
Yeah.
I got my Halo. I got my Halo Reach Limited off of Amazon, and I bought that simply for Halsey's journal. So,
yeah.
Same here. Don't get me wrong; the statue's neat, but
I think
I really wanted the journal.
Yeah,
I still haven't read that yet. I need to read it. Yeah, I know I'm a bad Halo fan for saying that.
Pages, I think.
Yeah, I just need to sit down and look through it at some point. I still need to get the Xbox console, the original Xbox console that was Halo themed too, the green one.
Yeah, oh,
yeah. Yeah, I need to go and get that. I saw some stuff I saw a few entries on eBay for it and a couple other places, but it'll be one of those things where it'll be somewhere down the line that I'll go and look for it.
Every once in a while, I'll catch one that's new unopened.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I question it every time I see it, but yeah, they say brand unopened. They still got Reach consoles and Halo 4 consoles out there that are new and opened as well. I'm hoping to pick each one of those up next year.
Well, those are still recent enough, I think, to where there are going to be plenty of those.
Yeah.
Of course, the unopened Halo 3 ones, they kind of want more than $399.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, at that point, they're probably considering them as collector's items.
Well, unopened, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would imagine finding unopened anything like maybe prior to 5 years ago would be ridiculously expensive for Halo.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, just a guess.
Even yeah.
One original of the Duke controller, I bet, would be pricey.
Yeah.
I would love to find the Duke controller for the 360. I love that big old controller.
Wait. You talking about
the original Xbox?
Oh, you're talking about the modded Dukes for the 360?
Yeah, I would love to have one of those.
Yeah, I think there were, what, only six made?
Yeah.
I forget what they said at Halo Fest.
And all six of them either belong to 343 and Bungie.
Well, no, Claude has one.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he was gifted one at Halo Fest.
Oh, that's right, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because that's where I learned about it.
Mm-hmm. He has one. One was sold at a Child's Play auction or a charity event, and I know someone else got one of the controllers. I forget who, though. And that means there would be three other ones that would be split between 343 and Bungie.
I think that'd be neat to have to play.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I've never played on the Xbox original that much, so I don't know how the feel of it would be.
Well, you definitely feel like you got something in your hands, and like
I'm all right with the 360 controller.
Your fingers together to pull the triggers.
I mean, I'm all right with the 360 controller.
Yeah, I think that's actually sized pretty nicely.
Yeah,
it feels a lot better too. Yeah. I mean, I've played on the original Xbox because I remember playing over X-Link Kai and Xbox Kinect with a roommate in college for Halo 2. So I definitely have used the older controllers before, but I just haven't used them as much.
Well, original Xbox had two different controllers. If you wanted one of the big Dukes, you had to get one of the first Xboxes to roll out, like in the first year and a half, two. And then they updated the controller to a small one about the size of the 360s.
Now, about that, I was talking to someone yesterday while I was playing Halo. And why doesn't Microsoft just come out with different size controllers?
Because that would make sense.
Seriously, how hard would that be?
Maybe they don't want to infringe on the custom controller market that has built up around the 360.
But even that, though, just offering different sizes for different gamers, I think that would be a huge appeal for people to buy more controllers.
Well, it's a simple question. Why hasn't Mad Catz done the same thing? You know, their controller is roughly the same size as the 360s. It's got a little bit of shape to it, but
there's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, I know the demand's out there.
I think Microsoft would be able to make so much more money off of selling controllers that way. Because it's not like you're changing the control scheme or anything. You're just kind of making things a little bit bigger.
Yeah, a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller. I think it'd be a good idea, especially, you know, when you got everybody from, you know, 8-year-olds up to 50-year-olds playing.
Yeah, and for someone like me that has huge hands, the small controllers are just a pain to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Xbox One controller is just slightly smaller than the 360 controller, and I can already tell that it's smaller just by holding it in my hands, that it's a smaller controller. And the fact that it's more angular than the 360 controller makes it harder to hold. But besides the fact, I would just like to have a bigger controller. Don't mess with the distance between, like, down the middle split where the buttons and the thumbsticks are, but just, like, spread it out and make the controller, like, bigger to hold.
Yeah, add a bigger gap in between the two thumbsticks.
Right. Come on, Microsoft.
We're
giving you opportunities to make money, and we know you like money.
That three people right here will buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
At least one of them.
Yeah. Well, it's like whenever I go home with my 360, I have a travel Xbox specifically, so when I go home or when I go visit conventions and whatnot, I can take that Xbox with me. And I'd get a bunch of different controllers and take those with me and I would bring my controller and I would bring three other controllers of different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a couple of standard ones and one that's smaller, one that's bigger. So I'd probably bring five or six controllers for people. So Xbox, Microsoft, we're giving you ideas. Make bigger and smaller size controllers. We promise it would sell.
We're giving you more ways to take our money. Oh.
Yes, money.
Especially since I'm willing to bet there's a lot of people like me who have a tendency to burn through controllers really quick.
Yeah, I noticed last night that one of my controllers kind of died when I went to turn left.
Oh, no.
Trying to turn the ghost left and it won't go.
Yeah. Luckily, I haven't had any of those issues with my controllers yet. So I have controllers that haven't come with Xboxes or are not themed. I have about six or seven of those. Ones I've actually bought, though, I have maybe seven or eight of those. Three wired ones and five wireless ones.
Yeah, I've got about five wireless. Two of those are themed. The other ones are just stock. Either came with an Xbox or I bought.
Yeah. So, anyways, Microsoft, there you go. There's a money-making idea for you. All right, let's move on to some Halo news, shall we? We got quite a bit. We got quite a bit coming down the rumor mill, so to speak. This is one of the kind of reasons we named it the Rumor Mill Has Begun podcast. First up is we had an interesting possibility of having a Halo 4 movie out there, which has unfortunately been turned down. So earlier this week, there was a post made by Production Weekly, which is supposedly a pretty well-known and prestigious like TV and movie production blog or website. And there was an entry on there for an unlisted Halo project. And apparently on Twitter, there were some replies where it was supposed to be a live action series that was supposed to be being produced by Ridley Scott, And Microsoft came out a couple days later following the takedown of those tweets, saying that the production of a Halo 4 movie is currently not being explored, so to say. So, unfortunately, no news of a Halo 4 movie officially yet. And this is just one of the things that's beginning the rumor mills of all the Halo stuff, along with the leaked screenshots over the break and a couple other things that have come up. But from this, I wanted to kind of ask you guys here, since you're part of the community side of things, not since I won't be asking Brent, which we're pretty well involved in and know the 343 guys, but what do you think about the possibilities of a Halo 4 movie? What would you like to see in the movie? Do you think it's a good idea? What are your thoughts with that?
Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I'd buy tickets. I'd probably go see it like 3 or 4 times. As for what I'd like to see, I think that kind of like the discussion that you'd had about the Halo TV show, I think that it would have to have Master Chief in it. You have to go with the most recognizable character, even for people who don't really play the games, they have a pretty good idea of, you know, what Halo is in reference to Master Chief. You know, maybe go with one of the earlier Spartan missions, or if you wanted to go, the one mission from Fall of Reach, where they recovered the stone. I can't even remember the name of the planet right now.
On Harvest or Reach?
No, the book Fall of Reach.
Yeah, they recovered the stone on Reach.
Yeah, that was on Reach.
Okay.
The one they were when they were in the sewer pipes?
Yeah, no, that wasn't Reach.
Yeah, that was Reach.
That was the planet that Keyes did the Keyes loop round. That wasn't Reach.
Yeah, that's where they went into the city and detonated the nuclear warhead, and they were running through the sewers, which, let's see.
Sigma Octanus 4.
Well, no, wait a minute. I think that was earlier in Reach, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was yeah. Reach.
No, that was Sigma Octanus 4 was where the Iroquois did the Keyes loop, and that was also where Blue Team, well, Spartans dropped in and snuck into the city, and that's when that's where they found that rock that had all the that was in like a pulse laser, which was transmitting up to the one Covenant ship in
geosynchronous orbit. Oh, that stone, orbit. Yeah.
I mean, that would probably make a pretty yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of a different. Okay, I was thinking of the one on Reach that Halsey discovered.
One that found under Kessel Base.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
okay.
That was in First Strike. The book. First Strike.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
I was thinking maybe something. Just to get back on what I was saying, I think that mission would probably make a pretty good movie of it. That's kind of what I'd like to see on it. So
I think with what they're going to be doing with things like if they do a Halo movie and the Halo TV show is not going to be rehashing anything that's been done in the games or the books. I mean, I like the idea of going and doing a mission that the Spartans did, that Blue Team did, and possibly exploring some of the things that have been talked about in the books and in the games, but not really discussed in detail. So certain battles that the Spartans have gone through with different Covenant skirmishes. But that also brings up another interesting question. And Godzilla, I'll let you kind of talk to this a little bit. But would we want to see a movie that's more geared towards the fight between the Covenant and humans? Do we want to see that war? Do we want to see something that's more about the insurrectionists and their uprising with the Spartans? Because we saw a little bit of that in Forward Unto Dawn. We've read it a bunch in the books. Or do we want to see, do you think people would be more in tune with seeing something that's more current age in Halo, that is us kind of joining up with the Arbiter and seeing how that relationship plays out between humans and Covenant and bring on the Prometheans and the Forerunners? Or do we want to go all the way back to the Precursors and the Forerunners during that time frame and that kind of movie? What would you want to see out of those kind of different domains of the Halo universe?
Well, I think as far as going back to the Precursors and the Forerunners, that just kind of blow it out of the water. it would be hard for people to really relate to that. Maybe as a sequel movie or something like that. I think though that particular group of characters would really need to be introduced in a previous TV show or movie or something like that. As far as what I'd love to see is kind of that era between where they're training the Spartans into the insurrectionists, and then maybe more of the beginning the beginning of the Covenant Human War. I know, a lot of people would like to see some new stuff as well. So, maybe bridge that gap between the Halo 4 and Halo 5 game.
I think they're already kind of doing
expand on that comic a little bit more.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're doing that pretty much already with the comics. Mm-hmm. And, we'll have to see what the TV show has in store for us, too. But I would assume with the timing of that, there's going to be a lot of tie between what's going on in the more modern day universe of Halo.
Mm-hmm. Also, it also depends on how big of a time frame there is between the Halo 4 and Halo 5. I mean, does it pick up 3 years after Halo 4, or does it pick up 10 years after Halo 4?
And we don't know. The likelihood of it is probably not too long afterwards. I would say definitely within the 2 year time span. I would hesitate to say possibly just 1 year or so, especially based off of the screenshot that we had last week and with all the stuff that Lasky and Palmer are still around and that whole story buildup that's been going on. I mean, especially around Palmer, there's been a lot of stuff and a lot of media that has come out specifically pertaining to Palmer. And it kind of begs the question, who are we going to see kind of move up within the ranks of Halo support roles? I mean, Johnson was a big role in the first three games. We saw a couple other big support players characters in the games. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Dusty, talk over you there. I was going to say that Spartan Ops, they kind of made it look like that might have been Thorn coming through. That might have been like the next guy up kind of a thing.
I thought the same thing. I thought they were going to look at expanding Thorn's story, especially if they did a second season of Spartan Ops.
Well, they might be, if they are going to do it, they might be keeping that storyline for Spartan Ops. In general, and I know how sexist this may sound, but female leads in don't really sell well from everything that I've read on the subject, either whether they're in comic books or whatnot. Usually if it's sole female lead, it that's just the way it is. I don't really agree with it because some of the characters are great, and I loved the Palmer character. They really fleshed her out the second half of Spartan Ops and with comic series. I wouldn't mind seeing her take. They might be taking her role in a slight tangent off of the primary Halo storyline. They might be checking that. So,
and that's a possibility, especially with the next Halo title. Because we know that Chief is probably going to be the main focus for a good majority of the next games coming down the round, at least with the Forerunner Saga. It's not a trilogy anymore, it's a saga. Yeah. And that's always going to be kind of the iconic Halo figure. I mean, Master Chief, as we know him in the Halo games, is the one driving force behind Halo. So a support role character is going to be especially needy in here. With Cortana gone, too. I don't know if they're trying to hype up Palmer to fill that role with what they've been doing with the comics and Spartan Assault, having her as one of kind of the primary Spartans in there, and really developing that story so she can come in and help fill that void Cortana left, or if it's going to be something where this is another subplot of Halo that starts to develop, where we see one side of Halo is more Master Chief, and the other side of Halo is more particular to the UNSC and what they're doing.
I kind of lean towards the second part of that, and I don't know if either one of you guys have read the first comic in the Escalation series yet.
I have not.
No, I haven't.
I just got the initiation full book yesterday, actually.
Okay, I mean, there's a, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a part of that actually kind of lays the root of splitting it into two storylines. I don't want to split it for spoil it for anyone who hasn't read it. But yeah, there's one panel that actually makes it look like they're taking it into separate directions.
Well, I kind of look at the Halo 2 style of how they did it, where you played the Arbiter as one half of the game and you played as Master Chief as the other half. And not to necessarily say that you're looking at two different factions, although I would personally like to see a game like that again. It would be cool to play as Master Chief and play as the Arbiter again.
Yeah.
Personally. But you can... I mean, they did it with Halo 2. Halo 2 wasn't necessarily a bad game, in my opinion. It wasn't really... I enjoyed it. It was one of the longer Halo games because it had 14 chapters instead of the 8 or 9 that the other games have had. But I liked the storytelling aspect where you're going back and forth and having these two parallel stories finally converge into one overall theme, which ended up joining the humans and the Covenant to where it is right now. And it would be cool to see part of the story is Master Chief going off and discovering the true intent of the Forerunners, possibly going and rediscovering Cortana or seeing how to get her back, and then have the other side of it where it's you're focusing on the UNSC with the invisible hand of Oni in there messing with stuff, and that whole front with the peace that's between the Covenant and the humans, but the inevitable resurgence back into war kind of thing. So it'd be interesting to see those two fronts and how those kind of develop as aspects, because I think both of those are playable in the Halo title.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Panzon when it comes to like Sarah Palmer. I would love to see him develop the character more. You know, what I saw in Halo 4, you know, Spartan Ops, I really enjoyed. You know, I kind of like the characters that are kind of brash and, you know, basically speak their mind. I've always enjoyed those type of characters. I think, you know, Thorne or Sarah Palmer as a support role in Halo 5, or whatever they determine they're going to call it, would be a good thing. And, you know, I wouldn't argue with, you know, dual storylines either, you know, like they did in Halo 2. ODST was probably a little much when it came to multiple storylines, but it was definitely an interest twist.
But ODST for me was probably one of the best campaign experiences that I've had with Halo.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun playing, especially playing the different characters. I'm just, you know, stating for a main title, you know, as, you know, a Master Chief story, I think if you had that many different storylines, it would take away from the game.
I like the option in ODST, though, to kind of... it wasn't exactly just open world, but you had certain ways you could basically go through the game. I would like to see for the campaign optional objectives kind of pop in there. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be anything major that affects the game outcome, but little things like take the Halo 3 level, Savo Highway, for example. There's one part where it's right after the cruisers come in and you have to jump over the gap in the bridge. You can have an optional task of saving those Marines that are up there in that the base area before going on and going to the anti-air race. So little things like that that you could kind of go out of the way to do, but you don't have to do them if you just want to play through the campaign quickly.
That actually makes the campaign replayable more.
Yeah, because it gives you different options to play and experience it.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I liked about Reach is... what level was it that you were flying the Falcon?
New Alexandria?
Yeah, yes. New Alexandria.
Yes.
You know, how they had the random submission that went between the actual objectives?
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
yeah.
They made that level a lot more replayable. And it made, you know, the grinding challenges that they did for the weekly challenges or daily challenges where you had to go get, you know, 60,000 points in that level or in a level more bearable. You know, especially when you had the vehicle, you crank all the skulls on, put it up on legendary and just, you know, hover, fly around, kill banshees and phantoms, do the little side missions and stuff. That was just a lot of fun.
Well, also in that level, another cool thing was the main mission pieces that you had to do when you went to the three different towers. Those were random every time, except for the very last one, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, that
you
kind
never
of
threw know in if a... you were going to the disco or the hospital or
yeah,
right.
You know, which one first?
Right. So that would be an interesting kind of thing to add into the Halo experience, at least for the campaign side. And you don't need to go overboard where you have a bunch of different optional objectives in every mission. You just need a couple of things to throw in there, and it's like, hey, you could do this while you're killing aliens kind of thing. Someone asked in the chat, what about playing as Chief and Jewel? And that was Dustin Griffith. I would hesitate to say playing as Jewel because he's viewed as an antagonist in the current storyline. It seems like he has some good intentions, but as he's portrayed in the books and as he's portrayed in the game, it wouldn't be something that would be very enjoyable to play as in the game. The Arbiter is kind of, and I mean, Jewel might turn out to be this way too. We don't know exactly where he's going in terms of what his main objectives are, and Mortal Dictata would probably fill some of those gaps for us. But there's the, with the Arbiter, you have the resolution at the end of the humans are actually right in that initializing or starting up the rings will wipe out all life as we know it, and that the prophets mm-hmm. are huge liars. So we see that kind of turn in the Arbiter come to be an ally. Now, Jewel has the potential to possibly do the same, but as the ending of Halo 4 stands, he is the main antagonist of Halo 4.
And if you move into the Kilo 5 trilogy, just the background with Jewel, as I really don't see him becoming a character that turns from one side to the other, because his main motivation is revenge for the loss of his wife. He blames humanity for her death because they helped the Arbiter. The reason he's fighting his war is not really religious rhetoric. It's not because of religious belief, although he is using covenant members of the covenant that are very religious to the Forerunners. But his personal beliefs is, he thinks of them just like the humans do already. I mean, yes, they were very powerful beings, but they're not gods. He sought the Didact because of his hatred of humans.
Right.
So I just really don't see him turning him, making that big of a U-turn back to, to be the point where he comes to the same same way of looking at things as the Arbiter does. I mean, the Arbiter, his eyes were opened by the Gravemind. What he learned from the humans, he learned that the Forerunners were not gods. They were just an advanced race, and that the prophets were misleading the covenant into thinking they were gods. And, all Forerunner artifacts were, precious, and they shouldn't be disturbed or, unless touched by a prophet's hand, thing. So, they kind of awakened to that same reality in a different way.
Yeah. And there's lots of different plot lines that could take, but it's just not something where you can, I think, introduce that as a playable character in the next Halo title, or even Halo 6 for that matter, unless there's some drastic story change that makes him somehow friendly to humans, which I don't foresee that coming anytime soon.
I would actually foresee a Brute as a playable character, or I would see Jewel as a playable character based upon what's going on in Halo Escalation. But
oh, okay. I haven't read any of those yet. So
yeah.
I got to admit, being a Brute chieftain in the game would just be just fun.
Oh, yeah.
Run around with that big hammer all the time.
It would be interesting. But not having any other weapons, though, because you would basically be running around berserking with the hammer, and you have to get in close every single time.
Which but you know, the chieftains also had the strongest shields of pretty much anybody.
Yeah, but look how easy it was for us Spartans to take them down.
I actually would like to see the brute shot come back.
Well, hopefully, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the brute chieftains, you know, they, yes, they had hammers, but, I mean, some of them
they were ruthless. Yeah, that's true. That is, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, you know, I haven't really seen a Spartan that could do a direct assault on a fuel rod. He kind of had to get sneaky.
Yeah. And do the whole backsmack approach.
Yeah.
I guess to put my two cents into the whole Halo movie idea, I think one is definitely due at some point. Whether the time is now, I don't think we're quite ready for that yet. I think there's a lot of stuff to be explored in the Halo universe. And with the advent of the Halo TV series coming about, I think that's their big digital product that they're going to be working on in terms of a visual experience, or a visual viewing or a viewing experience. Wow. So they're probably going to focus on that, see how the reaction is for that, and then look for a Halo movie down in the future. I wouldn't say we'll see a movie until after Halo 6, personally. Would I like to see a Halo movie? Yes. But I think there's other ways that they're currently looking at the Halo universe and wanting to talk about the Halo universe that the books and the TV series is going to facilitate better, and the games, of course, than doing it in a feature-length film. And if you think about it, Ford into Dawn was kind of a feature-length film once you put all five pieces together. And you have to look at kind of the attention span of people wanting to go and watch something like that. Having 15-minute webisodes and compiling all that into an hour and 15-minute feature afterwards is one thing, but doing it straight up as a feature-length film is something completely different, and you have to appeal to a different sense of viewing audiences that way instead of just someone on the internet for a few minutes a day.
Well, I've always thought that, you know, there's a couple of the books that would seem that they would roll into a movie script relatively easily. You know, not so much The Flood, but, you know, The Fall of Reach, I think, would roll into a good movie. Even maybe First Strike or Ghost of Onyx, you know, as far as the original books. That might be a good place for, if they decide to do a movie to start, because that would do a good job of introducing the characters. You know, especially if you wanted Master Chief in it, you know, First Strike or Fall of Reach. You know, that would do a good job of introducing all the main characters that are, you know, in all the canon. Because, you know, you'd introduce several of the other Spartans as well as Master Chief. So you could kind of roll into the other stories a little bit easier. You know, if somebody watched the movie and wanted to learn more, they could go pick up the books and, you know, find out more about the other Spartans and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, I would love it if, you know, if Master Chief in this next game found that he wasn't necessarily the only Spartan left.
Well, he knows he's not the only Spartan two left.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows that. And we know that from reading the books that he's not the only Spartan two left.
Yeah, we know that, but he hasn't been back to Earth yet.
Well, he was back to Earth in Halo 4.
Yeah, he just got back to Earth, but we don't know where he's going to pick it up, so... Well, I mean, you basically take that point into the game. You know, maybe just a brief little thing. You know, maybe while he's dealing with the loss of Cortana, to have him maybe go on a short mission with the couple of the other Spartans or something like that might be neat.
Like, you talking about like reuniting Blue Team, or are you talking about integrating with the Spartan Force?
No, reuniting with Blue Team, or what's left of Blue Team.
Yeah, what's left of Blue Team. Yeah. I think that's what, Fred and...
Kelly? Fred and Kelly?
And Kelly, yeah.
There was one more.
Bill?
No.
Who was...
The original was Sam, wasn't it?
Sam was the first Spartan to die.
Yeah.
I thought there was another Spartan too. Maybe not Blue Team, but there was definitely another Spartan too.
Well, yeah,
I'm
the
not
one
sure. That, I want to say Linda.
No,
but
Linda,
she died.
Was, well, I don't think it was.
No,
Linda.
I think Linda is still alive too.
Is it okay? So I'm not wrong. Okay. Who was the one that died on the satellite?
Is it James? James.
Yeah, James.
It was James.
Okay, so yeah, that means Linda's left, and someone in the chat room saying it's Linda. So yeah, my first guess was right. Thank you for confirming that, people. I appreciate that. I'm not totally crazy. So yeah, Fred, Linda, and Kelly are still there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them come back.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
In either the games or the TV series or something.
I think
bring back the Spartan twos.
I think the TV series would be a perfect way to do it.
I would think so too.
Because you're dealing with Spartans, but maybe just not. You're not dealing with Master Chief, but you know, Fred, Linda, Kelly. I think it's a great way to introduce them back.
And I'm assuming when they say a TV series, it means at least 10 episodes.
Yeah, I would hope so.
And with a TV series, it's not something that necessarily progresses in terms of a linear story like For the Dawn did, where it was you knew that the next week was a continuation of the story, but mm-hmm. it's something where you have a bunch of different stories pulled together. And it can be done in a timeline fashion, but you could watch each individual episode on its own.
Yeah, each individual episode is itself, and then the next episode takes care of, you know, takes place, you know, anywhere from days to weeks later.
Right. Self-contained little stories that get mashed together into this experience. But I would love to see the Spartan 2s back in some form or fashion. Either the games or the TV series, I think, would be a perfect platform to do it with, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I just can't see how they can't do that. I mean,
some point. Some point, 343, some point you have to do it. Mm-hmm. Some point, please.
In some way.
Yes, exactly. Moving on to some other news, since we kind of bashed the heck out of the Halo 4 movie idea, is the announcement of Cortana, which is supposed to be Microsoft's competitor for Siri. So news came out earlier today about, not necessarily one something that's coming out soon, but the possibility of having a voice search engine type thing called Cortana. It's codenamed Cortana, which is supposed to resemble Halo's iconic figure Cortana. And supposedly it's supposed to be voiced by Jen Taylor, so everything that would be that you would hear Siri do or something like that would be on the Windows side equivalent of Cortana, which is pretty cool. I mean, using the Microsoft well-known IP for Cortana as the AI, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a rumor of this actually back earlier last year, too, about something like Cortana in development. I forget when it was, but I do remember seeing an article for it.
I think it was like early fall or something.
Yeah, I want to say August. Like sometime right before PAX or after PAX, something like that. I think before PAX.
I saw that tweet from GameSpot when they said that, and the first thing that came to my mind is, okay, time to trade the iPhone in for a Windows phone.
Yeah, I have an Android phone. And
I tell you what, I'm really happy that I own a Windows phone already, because I'm just waiting to hit that download button.
Well, I wouldn't trade in iPhones just yet, and this is based off of the article, but someone infamously known as Microsoft Insider, I guess, as a blogger for Microsoft stuff, he says that Cortana will launch into beta this August on the Nokia Lumia phones for Windows 8.1 as beta, of course. And there's no indication on there of how long the beta is going to be or anything. But after that, supposedly it's supposed to be coming out on the Windows Phone 8.1 platform in a later update. And then it'll be added to the iPhone Bing app, believe it or not.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the Android love? I don't see any Android love in here either.
Yeah, nobody likes Android.
Aww. I like Android.
That's what everybody says about Windows Phone, so hey, I gotta spread the love.
But After the deployment for iPhone Bing and on the Windows 8.1 phones, is going to be deployed on the Xbox One and Windows 8.1 PCs in 2015, and later on the new Windows OS, which is currently codenamed Windows Threshold, which is going to be Windows 9, and that'll be in 2015-2016 timeframe. And Cortana is not.
We can look forward to having it on the Nokia Lumia 2050.
I guess I don't follow Windows phones that closely.
All I hope for is if they do it, it gives the same attitude that Cortana does.
Oh, definitely.
They have to.
I want my phone to talk back to me. You want to search what? Oh,
exactly. This is only for U.S. markets, though. This is not going to be international. This is strictly, at least for the beta, it's strictly for U.S. developers that have Lumia devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily only voice-activated features. It's supposed to eventually be like a fully functional assistant. I saw on one of the blogs somewhere they're supposed to be able to ask it questions and then has live time responses back to you. And it's going above and beyond what just a voice search engine and that kind of stuff for Siri and being a fully integrated like digital assistant.
Well, I mean,
so to
that's
speak.
Kind of the way they marketed the Siri. I mean, you can, you know, have it, you know, open your calendar and schedule an appointment, stuff like that. I just don't know how far they're going to take it with Cortana.
Yeah. Well, there's big anticipations that it's going to blow Siri out of the water, but who knows? It's early on, but the fact that we have a Windows equivalent finally coming out and it's Cortana is something to be proud about, being a Halo fan.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Darn, I might have to buy a new phone.
Unfortunately, I don't have an iPhone. I mean, I have one for work, but it would be cool to have it on my Android phone. I would probably have to go to a Windows. I would probably go to a Windows phone first before going to an iPhone.
I'll tell you what, between, you know, I've played with the Androids and the iPhones and I love the interface on a Windows phone. It's so easy to find stuff. On an iPhone, I'm always hunting and pecking just to find the settings.
Yeah, it is a little bit difficult.
It has a little bit of a learning curve. Not a lot of people are worried about the settings, so they don't really worry about having it exposed to people. Where for really tech-savvy people like myself, like to go and tinker in with stuff, which is one of the reasons why I like Android. And another reason I like Android is because there's phones that actually have physical keyboards that I can use instead of soft keys.
Yeah, soft keys utterly suck with big hands.
Well,
I honestly, mine are exactly small, and the soft keys on the Windows phone, I very rarely mistype anything, and I suck at typing.
Is that because of the predictive positioning that it uses, similar to how iPhone does it?
Well,
I'm guessing that's probably part of it.
It lays the keyboard out in a standard keyboard format, but as far as, you know, just actually just typing out a text or an email or something like that, not even use its, you know, its predictive text, because it, you know, it basically, you know, starts typing the word in a little bar right above the keyboard. You know, it works really well. Like I said, you know, I've got relatively decent sized thumbs and I do a pretty good job of typing for no bigger than the keys are.
Well, I know for iPhone and iOS, they have, or at least I remember hearing something about this, where as it learns how you type, it'll actually kind of change the hit zones for the keys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you normally like hit to the right of the E to hit the E, it'll actually move that zone over a bit. In the software, and that way when you go to hit the E, it's more in tune to where you're used to hitting.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the Windows phone does something very similar.
It does it instantly.
Yeah, the iPhone,
like I said,
does have,
you know,
a little
I picked
bit of
up my first phone and it worked, the keyboard worked flawlessly right off my first usage of it.
Okay, cool. Good for you. I would say as long as the Cortana doesn't come out for Android, I would probably switch over to a Windows phone. Maybe. We'll see.
Well, the nice thing is the Windows phones are kind of getting cheap, so you could pick one up on eBay and just you know, keep it at home for an MP3 player and play with it. Send emails off of it. Look at Twitter.
Yes, Twitter.
I mean,
I love the tweets.
I've got one that sits on my desk and I use it for a clock.
That seems like a little bit of a waste.
Well, you know, it was my first phone and I just really can't get anything for it from anybody, so it might as well just sit on my desk and be a clock.
Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah. That makes sense.
At least it's not sitting in a drawer dying.
That is true. So yeah, that's some interesting news for some Halo fans out there. So look for this Cortana AI coming down the pipeline in April if you have a Windows Lumia phone. And if not, you'll see it probably come out on the market later in 2014 for mobile apps, which will be pretty cool. Next order of business is one of our good friends, Ghost Ayami, has been picked up by 343. So he has shipped himself out to Seattle and is now working there as a tester for the Halo team. And we're really happy for him. It's good to see 343 kind of picking up people throughout the community. And Ghost Ayami is one of those people I think is very deserving of a job like this. So he's going to be working on, like I said before, the testing team. And some other Halo pros have been hired also. Neighbor and Dursky specifically. So they're going to be working on testing out the competitive nature of the next big Halo title. So as far as if you want some more information on it, Team Beyond has done an interview with him. Once they heard the news that he was going to 343, and I bet there was going to be something that Waypoint will put out with him too, because they did that with Bravo when they first brought him on, and I would imagine that with Andy they'll probably do something similar. But in the meantime, if you want to know a little bit more about him and his involvement with Halo, his past professional gaming career, and what he's done with Halo in the past, then definitely check out teambeyond.net. They're some good friends of ours. And read up on his Q&A that he has.
Cool, I have my reading material for tomorrow.
There you go. It's a good lengthy post, and I get a shout-out in there, which is kind of cool.
Oh, now he's plugging himself.
Well, I actually just saw that because I haven't read the full Q&A yet, because there's about 20 or so questions in here from the community.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a pretty lengthy interview. So, I mean, he was very involved with the Team Beyond guys. He was the person that was behind the Team Throwdown settings and the competitive settings that was used by AGL and ML. I think, I'm not sure if he was specifically involved with the settings for the one MLG event that did Halo 4, but he definitely was the leading force behind making the Team Throwdown and the competitive game types for AGL and UMG. So he kind of fits the build perfectly for getting that competitive experience down. And him and I actually had a two and a half hour conversations about Halo multiplayer and everything that you could think of in terms of map design to weapon balance to vehicles. When we were heading over to Pittsburgh for Halo Fans for Life's LAN, and it was just fun talking to him for that long about Halo. He's very passionate about it, has lots of good ideas for the franchise, knows what needs to be focused on and for the Halo experience from a competitive standpoint, and he gets the casual side of it as well. So it's not like he's totally into the competitive fandom that we've seen a lot of MLG personalities come out to be, but he's really in there for that Halo multiplayer experience, which is one of the good things and one of the reasons why I think 343 made a very good decision for picking him up. So if you're listening to this, Eric, congrats to you, man. We're very pleased that you're over there with the team, and we know you're going to do some great things for the next Halo title, and can't wait to see what you have to specifically contribute to the effort and the evolving Halo universe.
Yeah, dude. Definitely. Yeah, congratulations for me, too, for nailing my dream job.
Dream job of just going to 343 or as a tester?
Either.
Either one.
Yeah.
So
they came knocking at my door, I'd put my 2 weeks in right away and be gone.
I'd go be a janitor for them so I could wander around.
Nice. So yeah, congratulations, Ghost. We're very, very happy with you.
Yeah, congrats, man.
That covers all the miscellaneous stuff and the rumor mill, so to speak. We have the bulletin for this week, which addresses some stuff with matchmaking, of course, as we have the weekly or the bi-weekly matchmaking playlist updates. We'll get some more information on that. Mortal Dictata has arrived at the studios as well, so they put out a little excerpt from the first chapter of that book, which you can go and read on the Halo Waypoint website. Some updates to Mega Bloks and another community player interview. So let's start at the very top of things for the evening. So matchmaking playlist update. As you guys know, Big Team Slayer has been, or I'm sorry, Big Team SWAT has been the rotational playlist for the past 2 weeks. And we have Team DLC, which is going to be replacing it next week. And that, of course, requires all the DLC maps, and they'll be played exclusively on the Castle, Majestic, and Crimson map packs that, if you haven't gotten by now, you probably want to grab those. There was a sale on those back some time ago. I forget when. It was before Christmas. But
they're all like half off or something like that?
Yeah, they were all half off. Yeah. Which is a great deal. If you didn't get in on that, then you kind of missed out. But Team DLC is going to be in that rotational playlist. We have it for 2 weeks, so starting on January 27th and heading on into February up until the 10th, or the 9th technically, as the last day. You'll be able to go into some Team DLC, work on some of those DLC achievements that you don't have.
Yeah, a lot of those left.
Yeah, I have 4 achievements left in Halo 4 that I need to get. I forget which ones they are specifically, but I know one of them, I think I told the story last week, but one of the achievements that I got when I was at home over the Christmas break was the Mantis Stomp one. So the fact that I still have to get achievements in Halo 4 is, yeah, there's lots of stuff to do. I still have to get achievements in Halo 3, all those dang FFA matchmaking ones, which are a pain.
Yeah, I managed to get my last one of those like 2 weeks before Reach launched.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was playing on Guardian, and my last one was to get an overkill rank, and I just squeaked it out. Like, last kill of the game.
Nicely done.
I was so happy to see that achievement pop.
Well, it's a goal of mine to eventually get 100% on all the Halo games. It's just a matter of taking the time and finding the people to do it with. The trick for the Halo 3 is going to be finding other people that are within my skill range. I'm a level 20 right now in FFA, so it'd be a manner of finding 5 other people with that skill level, and then going into matchmaking at the same time, getting matched up with each other, and then helping each other with the achievements. At this point, I don't mind boosting 4 achievements, especially when they're as ridiculous as that.
Well, the game's old enough. I don't think anybody's going to worry about you boosting achievements in Halo 3.
Yeah. At least I hope not. But I have the achievements for Halo 2 Vista, I think. I want to say I do. I'll have to double check. Have all of them for ODST. I have all of them for Reach, I think. And the only ones I don't have them all for is Halo 3, Halo Wars, and Halo 4.
Yeah, I'm just missing 2 in Reach. And then about 2/3 of the DLC achievements in Halo 4, all the rest of them completed. Well, with the exception of Halo 2 Vista, because I don't own it yet.
Yet. You can find them for like $15.
Again, it's one of those deals to find it and then buy it. It's a matter of finding it and then having the cash at the same time.
Ah.
You know.
Yeah, money is important.
Yeah. And just having just a Vista machine to play it on.
You don't have to have Vista. You can have 7.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, I definitely got that.
Why downgrade to Vista?
Very true. I mean, for the achievements, I just got my 130 about 2 weeks ago, so I've got a whole list of them that I want to try to get.
Yeah.
I played a whole lot of Spartan Ops.
We may do something where we have achievement nights, like once every other month or so.
That would be
cool.
Yeah.
Because the two reach achievements are they're it's a pain just to even get a map that you can complete them on.
Well, there's ways to do that, where you go and delete the other DLC packs, and you just have the one DLC pack download that you need them on, and then go into the DLC playlist. Going
into random matchmaking and doing it.
Oh well, yeah, random. You have no guarantee you're gonna get the map that you need. So yeah, Team DLC is gonna be the rotational playlist starting next week. I'm going to have game types such as Slayer, King of the Hill, Extraction, SWAT, Snipers, Ricochet, Regicide, and Oddball on maps such as Skyline, Monolith, Landfall, Daybreak, Harvest, Vertigo, and Pitfall. So you need all three of the War Games map pass DLCs and, of course, the Championship bundle maps as well. So go download those if you haven't yet. It's going to be some fun times to go get some achievements if you need those. And overall, just good gameplay to have on some pretty cool maps. If you want to play with us, we'll be doing... We'll probably bring back the matchmaking... or at least one matchmaking play date for... to just play these maps on one night and within the two-week time span. Not sure when that's going to be yet, but... I know for some people wanting achievements, it might be a good time to do that. So we'll try to set up a matchmaking night for this playlist when it comes out next week. We have a couple of additional game types that are going to be in there as well. At least for the Action Stack playlist. So one of the maps that Pete the Duck had listed in his interview from last week has made it into Action Stack now. So Paintball... out of the three maps is the one that got selected. So you'll see that pop up in the Action Sack playlist. Also, Husky Raid. So if anyone... So this isn't the one that we're used to playing on Wacky Wednesdays. But for those of you that come and play with us, there's a map called Husky Raid. And it's basically this one long hallway. And it's captured the flag. You spawn with random weapons. And it gets insanely crazy. Yeah, people sniping.
High depth kill counts.
Yeah, definitely.
One of our good friends, Jackfire, his goal is to increase his score count every single time. And he's almost gotten to 25,000 points in one game. He hasn't quite broken that yet, but he's gotten close. So for him, it's always a challenge of trying to see how many points he can get. I don't think the time is going to be as long in this version of Husky Raid. It'll probably be a lot shorter. And the layout of the map is going to probably be a lot different than the one that we're used to. But the idea is the same, where you spawn with random weapons. It's basically a long shot for capture the flag, and it's just a lot of hectic fun. This version specifically is made by a forger known as The Fated Fire. So definitely check that out when it hits the Action Stack playlist next week. And then the last game type that's being added to the Action Stack playlist is called Clang of the Hill. This is a 4v4 Team King of the Hill game type with thruster packs, and you could probably guess it, swords as your primary weapon, designed by Snipe316. And it doesn't say on here what map specifically they're played on, but it's probably going to be a bunch of different maps that they have in the playlist and just rotated throughout. Because you could do Sword King of the Hill on just about any map that has some centralized hill points. You could do it on Abandon, you could do it on Exile, you could do it on Haven even, Abandon. There's lots of different maps that you could do it on. For the voting poll last week, we had three different choices. We had Neutral Flag, Oddball, and King of the Hill for Team Doubles playlist updates. And the vote turned out to be King of the Hill. So that was the community choice poll. And you'll be able to see... that game type in the matchmaking playlist for Team Doubles on the maps Haven, Abandon, Simplex, The Ark, Fallout, Pitfall, and Skyline. So check those out. Mortal Dictata has a little spotlight, and like I mentioned before, there's a little excerpt floating around on Halo Waypoint that you can go read up on from the first chapter, and it gives on the Waypoint Bulletin the synopsis of the book on there as well. And it's the continuation of the Keyleth 5 trilogy. So if you've read that, you'll just be continuing on the story with Jewel and the Kilo 5 team between the events of Halo 3 and Halo 4. So I'm looking to see a lot of things resolved in this book.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of loose strings as of the last one.
Yeah, there's lots of things, especially between the gaps of Halo 4 and where the last book ended up. And supposedly there's supposed to be a lot of questions answered with this book, even from the game perspective in Halo 4. So we'll see what happens. There's a Mega Bloks update. So the Oni Reap X line has a new set that's coming out. And it is called the Unicy Quadwalker, which is kind of a spinoff of the... I am blanking on it. Scarab? Someone help me. Yeah, thank you, Scarab. I don't know why I forgot that word. But yeah, it's loosely based off of the Scarab and other Covenant models, and I guess more so the Locust from Halo Wars than the Scarab. Scarab is just the first one that popped to mind, but kind of that walker type of machine, and the primary weapons that it has on there is dual plasma turrets, similar to kind of the turret that's on the shade turrets, supposedly. And then there's another Covenant anti-vehicle shade turret model that comes with that as well. So it's just one set, but there's some info that you can go read up on about it in the Halo Bulletin. And you'll probably see some information come out on the Mega Bloks website as well once more info about that comes out.
Maybe this is a hint at a new vehicle.
Well, so the other Reap X vehicles that we saw, we haven't seen anywhere else in the franchise. And personally, I was talking with someone else on Twitter about this earlier, and they don't really see, they don't have the Halo feel to me.
Yeah.
It seemed, this one definitely has more of a Halo feel because it seems it's more directly copied off of something that's Covenant related, where the other ones was just a motorbike and a hovercraft. Or a snowmobile and a hovercraft.
Yeah.
So this one has a little bit more of a Halo feel to it, but it just doesn't say Halo to me right off the back, other than the fact that there's the shade turret with it and there's a Spartan model. That's about it.
Well, don't forget the incinerator cannon that he's holding.
Yeah. Yeah, there is the incinerator cannon, which is pretty awesome. I'm hoping it's not just that gray. I'm hoping that they have a little bit of details on it because of the orange glow that it puts off.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to see that, but...
I think those sets look really cool, but like you said, they look neat if you just looking at them as they are. But within the concept of the Halo universe, I see exactly what you mean by...
Doesn't exactly fit.
Yeah. Because we haven't seen them anyplace else.
Right. Well, and they just don't have the Halo feel. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that when you look at it, it's like, oh, that feels Halo-ish. And those do not put that feeling of recognition off at all to me. But that's just me wrapping up that tangent. There's another community interview on the bottom of the bulletin. And there's... someone by the name of Stephanie. I've actually never heard of her until seeing her in this bulletin, but apparently she's a big CLOS player known as the female Master Chief. I guess she's one of the more prominent people that dresses up as Master Chief. So there's a big interview with her about how she got involved with Halo and how she got started into cosplaying as the Master Chief. So if you want to read up on that, definitely go check that out. It's some pretty interesting stuff about how she met her husband through her brother and her brother's best friend, and they got to playing Halo and had some Halo things at their wedding, and they cosplay together and all that cool stuff. So definitely check that out. It seems like there's lots of different Halo couples out there, and this is just one of those other ones. And at the very end, of course, is the screenshot spotlight. And this week's theme is Deadeye, which is one of those fancy armor sets that I don't care much for. I like my Mark VI, like my plain vanilla Spartan stuff, and that's what I'll stick with. So, some pretty funky ones, some pretty cool just armor and color effects in here. And we'll pick one of those for the screenshot, or the album art, of course. I don't know if you guys have the bulletin up, but if you do, for me, I think probably my favorite one out of the bunch, just for its more or less simplicity's sake, is Gratua by Endure and Downfall by Reclaimed Halo. So those are my favorites out of the bunch that are there.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Hellspawn.
Yeah, I'm kind of am too. I kind of like the look of the hard light shield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is pretty cool actually with the red.
Yeah, Hellspawn and Blood Ribbons looks pretty good too. It looks like he did that with maybe a shield door.
It looks like it.
That's just kind of a cool effect how he's got the stripe on the helmet and then on the, you know, the one arm.
Yeah, the one arm with the storm rifle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way that they get these color effects, like especially for Illuminate, it's just how do you do that?
That just boggles my mind.
What is it in the graphics engine in Halo 4 that can get you those kinds of effects? I don't get it.
What combination does this?
I have no freaking idea.
All I got to say is there's some talented people who do this. I mean, just looking at them, it's like, how do you do this? Seriously. I mean, even something as simple as, like, Hellspawn, or even the Downfall by Reclaimed Halo. I mean, just, wow.
Yeah,
it's all timing your shot with an explosion or something, you know?
Yeah, it's staging the whole thing. Well, I bet Downfall is someone, like, flying along and then having their trail of, like, when they're being burned up, follow them.
Mm-hmm. The spark effect?
Yeah. I mean, these screenshots are freaking insane. And there's talented people out there. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
We regularly see Reclaimed Halo and Receptor 1. Receptor 17 up there for screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to reach out to them and see if we can get them on the show. But that's it for your bulletin update for this week. Of course, remember we have the Team DLC playlist coming throughout the rotational playlist settings for next week. So say bye-bye to Big Team SWAT and hello to Team DLC. Gonna be good stuff.
As long as it doesn't have the lag, the team...
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
That lag was horrible.
Cool.
Anywho.
Yeah, last night I think it cleared halfway across Ragnarok.
Oh my gosh.
Base, and then next thing I know, I was almost a pelican.
Sometimes I question how networking code can get that bad. And it seems like it's gotten progressively worse since Halo 3, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, or at least I'm hoping, that with Halo 5 dedicated servers on the Xbox One, that will eliminate a lot of the issues that we see with network lag and all that stuff.
No more
people pulling hosts that shouldn't be pulling hosts and have probably the crappiest connection out of everyone in the party.
Yeah. Okay. It just seems like after the one title update just before the Champions bundle dropped, that's where it seemed to really get bad. At least that's when I noticed it. I mean, across a lot of the different playlists. So.
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree with that. That's where I started noticing that a lot more of the game, the playlist would get laggy as far as, you know, where it would actually be noticeable, and I would start actually seeing it in the gameplay. I mean, you know, you always get that one guy, he kind of glitches about in, you know, random games, but then it started to get more consistent after that. The one real big thing I hope that they fix in the next gen is their second game type, whether it be Firefight, Spartan Ops, some new game mode, if they could get the lag out of that. Because, you know, Firefight, especially on ODST or even co-op campaign, was so glitchy and laggy. It made it hard to play.
The thing about that, though, is because you're transferring AI data along with your player data, so you have a lot more information going across the network.
Yeah.
So it's very vulnerable to lag when you have people with slower bandwidth caps and thinner internet pipes than you have as someone like probably one of us that has massive internet connections, like 50 megs down and 50 megs up or something like that. And I feel that with dedicated servers, a lot of that infrastructure can be pulled off of the consoles and have just a lot cleaner and fluid experience on those kinds of things. And yeah, I would personally like to see something like that back in the hands of the players, having that cooperative multiplayer experience that's not just shooting other people on Xbox Live, but going in and doing missions like Spartan Ops, like Firefight, and just kind of really build on that. Because I think they can bring back Spartan Ops in Halo 5. I think that's something that a lot of people were... of course, not everyone really liked it with the first five episodes with eggheads and everything. But the last half of Spartan Ops was very well done. The storytelling was cleaned up a lot. The execution of the cutscenes was very well done. The stitching of the story pieces in with the actual levels that you played, very cohesive, and it's just, it has a lot of potential. A lot of people were really hoping for a season two when the last half of season one came out.
I was definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I think with them already working on development of Halo 5, we won't see a second season with Halo 4, but I'm definitely hopeful to see something in Halo 5 on that line. At least one can hope.
The one I liked the best was the towards the end of the second season, where you started up in the interactive cutscene. I can't think what the mission is, where one player jumps off and assassinates the elite while the other three are still pinned to the wall.
Oh, that's first mission in episode 6.
Yeah, I was about to say that's not the last. That's not near the end. That's the first mission in episode 6.
Middle.
Oh, okay.
Let me rephrase that. Middle.
Yes.
But I think that was probably, as far as the actual cutscenes, I think that was one of my favorites because of just the fact that you were interacting in the cutscene to a point. I mean, you could literally look around during the cutscene.
It wasn't a cutscene. That was actually, you were in there starting gameplay.
Yeah, but the way it was laid out, it seemed more like a cutscene than actual gameplay.
Okay.
The way I perceived it. I don't know if anybody else perceived it that way, but
I can see what you mean by that. It does have that feel a little bit, especially if you're in there in multiplayer. If you're in there by yourself, you just kind of it's like, okay, here we are, we're starting.
Right.
Frankly, I kind of wish, just as a side note, I wish that map, that I can't remember the name of the map that in that episode, I really wish that would be one of the maps in multiplayer matchmaking, because that is great map.
There were a lot of those environments that would have made a great multiplayer map. But that's it for us for the show this week, guys. Thank you for tuning in, for those on the live stream, and for those that download us on iTunes or Zune or wherever you managed to find us. Thank you for your support and continuing to listen to us on a weekly basis. Make sure you check out our website, poddackler.com. And while you're there, you can click through our social network pages, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and all the things that we have posted up on there. We have concluded the Halo 4 Community Appreciation Giveaway. Or not Halo 4, just the Halo Community Appreciation Giveaway. Final winners are being determined, and we'll reach out to them to make sure that we can get a hold of them and get them prizes. And we'll hopefully make the announcement on those winners next week. We have some stuff coming down the pipeline for the forums. Hopefully that will be out, I want to say, March time frame. I got to finish the work on the Halo Mole, and then that is my next line of work to get done, is the forums for the website. So I'm targeting for a March delivery date on that. So make sure you stay up to date on that. As far as some of the other things going on with Podtacular, nothing much has changed, but I did talk about a lot of things last week on what we're doing and what we have planned for 2014. So if you want to know what we have in store, definitely go out, check the episode 404 of our podcast, which came out last week, and all the details, or most of the details, are in there. We haven't talked about some of the things that we're working on, and that's because some of them are relied upon me talking to certain people, and some of the things we just don't want to reveal yet. Also, I want to give a shout out to a podcasting network that we're a part of, thepodcast.com. That is a podcast with a K. And there's a couple other podcasts on the network. One is Critcast, which is the TF2 podcast. They cover stuff in the TF2 universe, similarly to how we do with Halo. So we want to give a big shout out to those guys. And then Reachcast, which is a PlanetSide 2 podcast that if you are a fan of the PlanetSide 2 games or any of those games, you want to check that one out. Personally, I haven't checked it out yet because I haven't played any of the PlanetSide 2 games, and I want to get a little experience on that before I kind of reach out there and see what they're talking about. But for those that are interested, go check them out. And definitely check out some of our other fellow community podcasts. So we have the Drunken Halo podcast, and I was able to participate in their Winter Wonderland tournament, and I made it all the way through the semifinals, and I got knocked out. So I actually made it further than I anticipated, which is kind of pretty cool. But check those guys out. They are a very good podcast to listen to. Have lots of good things to say about Halo. They don't release quite as often as we do. They're more of, I want to say they're more kind of like every other week or monthly, depending on the time that they have. But they're very knowledgeable and they're a good listen. So definitely go check them out. DrunkenHalo.com, I believe, is their website. There's also the Griffball Hubcast, which is run by GriffballHub.com, which is pretty much the premier Griffball league for Halo. If you guys haven't heard of them or haven't really been to their website before, I'm not sure how you're listening to this podcast because we've had them on plenty of times and we reference them a lot on the show. They're very good friends of ours, so if you're into Griffball or want to be in a kind of competitive Halo scene that's not traditionally Halo, but something that's a very fun environment that you can get in with other players and get to meet up with some other cool Halo people, if you're looking for someone to play with, then definitely go check them out, GriffballHub.com and the Griffball Hubcast as well. That, I think, will wrap it up. There's a couple other smaller podcasts. There's the Postgame Carnage Report. There's Halo Gaff Radio. Halo Gaff doesn't post as many. I think they're more monthly or bi-monthly, really. So,
yeah, they just released an episode this month.
Yeah, they did. The Sparkcast, there was one a little while ago when Silentium came out, I believe was the last one.
Yeah, that they had Greg Bear on that one, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see them. I hope they do one for Molo Dictata, and I hope they bring the podcast back to a more regular release schedule when Halo 5 comes closer to deployment, because for those of you who don't know, Bungie has kind of restored their Bungie Studio podcast to talk about Destiny, and they've been putting a lot of episodes out recently on that. So I'm hoping 343 does the same with their podcast eventually. It'd be cool to see. With that said, you guys have any final words before we wrap it up? Anything you want to shout out, like your Twitters or YouTube or anything like that? Websites?
Spectacular.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it. Glad I was able to come on tonight. Because you know, work's one of those random things. Really enjoyed the show. Enjoyed being on the show. Yeah, and watching the chat.
Yeah, we have a pretty good active chat going on tonight. Yeah. So lots of good things to listen to. Lots of good things to read up on the chat. If you have a chance to listen to us live, we do it on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Same time goes for our Wacky Wednesdays, which is on Wednesdays, our custom nights. And we don't have any other live streams currently scheduled. But it's likely those schedules will start to change and start to morph into other things coming in late February or early March. So, but for now, check us out on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll be live streaming then for custom nights on Wednesdays and the podcast on Thursdays. If you want to be on the podcast, you just support us like Pins and Godzilla have done here. One of the ways you can do that, of course, is listening to us on the live stream, coming be a part of the chat. And then when we get the forums back up, being an active member there as well. And of course, you can always send us the submissions. You can do that by emailing us, submissions@podtacular.com. Or you can call in and leave us a voicemail, 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And we'll play those on the show. I want to give one last shout out to Pins and Godzilla Todd for coming on the show last minute, as I caught them in the Twitch stream before we started. Just kind of camping in there. You guys are trying to be sneaky, sneaky.
No, we were just chit-chatting. We just killing time until the podcast starts.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. But anyways, yeah, major shout-outs to these two fine gentlemen here. And thank you for coming on and helping fill the spot of Brent for this week. And hopefully he returns next week, guys. I'll try to rag on him a little bit and see where he is. But until next week's episode, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you guys then. Keep on fragging trucks.
Take it easy, guys.